reporting officers would be Morag, Clint, who's the contractor who wrote the report, and Janice McDougall, group manager. Welcome.
Good afternoon, councillors, Rupini, and colleagues, and community board chairs. I hope you've all enjoyed a very short lunch break. Before I start to take you through this paper, I guess I'd like to start by throwing to Councillor McCann to see if there are any comments he would like to make by way of introduction.
Kia ora, thank you very much, Janice. I'd like to start by thanking the staff, Janice Morag and the contractor Clint, for the enormous amount of work they've done on the particular issue. And also a big thank you, and it is a very late thank you, to the Mayoral Housing Task Force who submitted their report way back in 2017. This has been a pretty long journey for our council, and perhaps too long, but I'm confident that if we accept the recommendations in this report, that we're going to start to make some progress. It's quite a broad-based paper which covers, as I see it, a wide range of options, because there is no one quick fix to ensure that people have accessible and affordable housing. We have to remember that while COVID-19 is top of mind at the moment, the needs of our community are still paramount, and there is a lack of housing, there is a lack of affordable housing, there's overcrowding and migration north. So this paper tries to address many of those issues with a wide-ranging set of recommendations. The only downside is that we as a council have had to act responsibly, and we have reduced the amount of funding that we're putting into this project. But I'm pretty confident that with the great team that we've got here in council, that we're still going to make progress, just not as fast as we were going to. So with that word of caution, I'd like to hand over to Janice. Thanks.
Thank you. As the Mayor has noted, Clinton Fisher from the Property Group, who was the author of the Housing Program Assessment Report, is here to answer any questions that you may have once we get to that point in proceedings. And Morag Taimaleatane, who authored the report on the agenda, is also here, should we need her. So I thought that I would start with a brief overview of the paper, and just to reinforce what we are seeking your endorsement and approval for today. A little bit of a history lesson, so please bear with me if you are already familiar with the history. But just to confirm, what we are seeking from you today is I guess your acceptance of the Housing Program Assessment Report and your support and endorsement for Council to establish a housing program, and again your endorsement for some of the early priorities that we might want to take a look at while we continue to develop a more detailed multi-year work program. So as has already been noted, the story starts in 2017, when the Council received a report from the Kapiti Coast Community Housing Task Force, an initiative established by the Mayor. In response to that, the current long-term plan created a platform for the Council to consider its future role in housing, and noted that we would also need to have a particular focus around social housing. So about this time last year, we engaged the Property Group to start an assessment of the housing needs and opportunities specific to the Kapiti Coast as a way of informing a conversation about what our future role may be. In carrying out that work, Clinton and his team engaged quite widely within council, the organisation, with elected members, with a range of individuals and organisations within the district that had an interest in housing. You will be familiar with the content of that report. We've briefed you several times as work has progressed, including most recently as part of your annual plan workshops earlier in the year. So to touch a little bit on the Housing Task Force report today, as well as seeking your endorsement for the Council's approach to housing moving forward, we are also seeking your endorsement for our formal response back to the Housing Task Force. And I just want to acknowledge Councillor McCann's comments earlier in this conversation, that for many that has been slow in coming, too slow in coming, and I think it's great that we are at that point today where we can formalise our response to the Housing Task Force. I think that the issues that are at play here have been well canvassed in the report, and I certainly don't think there's a need for me to canvass all of that information in a conversation now, but with I guess with a sense of enthusiasm, I am really looking forward to being able to answer any questions that you have, and to hopefully at the end of this conversation see us progressing forward with this very important piece of work, because ultimately a lot has changed in our environment in the last few weeks, but one thing that won't be positively impacted by the COVID-19 situation is, of course, the very real pressures that many Kapiti Coast residents are facing in relation to affordable and accessible housing. So with that, I'm happy to leave it there, and through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm willing to answer any questions.
Right. First one up, Bernie Randall.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My comments are the comments also of the Housing Task Force. So what I'm doing is reiterating what the Housing Task Force Chair has sent to me, John Hayes, and just also I endorse these. And there are two matters in particular. Action 8, and I think this is important, being a Paraparaumu ward councillor, to investigate the feasibility of redevelopment of council-owned pensioner units. There's a lot of land associated with the pensioner units, and we could look at that to provide additional housing opportunities. And I would like that action 8 to be carried forward. The other point, which Councillor McCann would no doubt be interested in, the Housing Task Force urged council to work with central government to address increasing demands for public housing. So they're promising money, and we should, if they do promise it and give it to us, we should accept this particular, the money for public housing, rather than the council providing money. That's the two issues that I wish to raise.
Thank you, Councillor Randall. Certainly, in terms of central government, we are having some active conversations with relevant central government agencies at the moment to look at how central government might be able to support or enable housing-related programs in this district. So, certainly support Mr. Hayes's comments there.
I think there are two questions, weren't there? Randall.
Sorry, I think the second, the earlier comment was I think Councillor Randall was expressing support for Action 8 in the report and potentially asking for that to be a priority.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, Gwyn and then Jackie Elliott.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The way I understand it is the actions that are being we're being asked to approve to progress today, they're just most of the short-term ones, aren't they? And I'm guessing that Action 13, because it's quite similar to Action 7 in terms of convening that task force, that's why that's sort of been left out of the recommendations there?
Yes, I think we would look to possibly try and combine those three.
Perfect, thank you.
Jack Elliott.
Firstly, back in 2017, did Council actually formally receive the Housing Task Force report?
It was received, I believe, as a submission to the annual plan, but Morag, please jump in.
I think it was a long-term plan.
Long-term plan, yes.
Okay, so it was formally received. Okay, I just wasn't sure that stage had happened. And my second question is, during our recent workshop for the annual plan, It was noted that staff are undertaking some negotiations with developers and other parties, and I'm wondering if the names of those could be disclosed.
I think the conversations would be a better word to use there, a more accurate description of what's happening rather than negotiations. And yeah. My answer today is still the same as my answer then, that those are very early stage conversations and not something that we're in a position to name or report on at the moment.
Okay, thanks. That's it, thank you.
James Coates.
Thank you, Guru and Janice, for the introduction into the report. I've just got three, I think it is three questions. First one's on page 27, number 34, the first bullet point there, action number one. The audit of council's existing residential land holdings, that was sort of informally started in the last trinium with at the request of myself and Councillor Michael Scott around our assets. So I would think that their action there is largely well underway. I'm just interested in any comments you've got around it. I appreciate it was a bigger piece of work, but it's certainly not something that's starting from scratch.
Yes, there are a number of, maybe not a number, but there are several recommendations in the Housing Needs Assessment Report where Council already has some work underway. That is one of them. Also work in relation to understanding barriers to existing development capacity being taken up, which is Action Area 3 proposed in the report. There is initial work underway already on that too. So certainly not all of the actions in the report will require us to start new work. In many cases, we will have existing work streams that can contribute to them.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you for a specific date, but that piece of work has taken longer than, at least I think we expected as elected members in terms of the asset stock take. So any idea in terms of how long to complete action number one in terms of the audit of existing residential land holdings?
So we have, I guess what I would note is that that's a piece of work that's underway within the property group. We have an initial view on, vacant land holdings that the council owns, and of which there are not many, and their potential for housing. We have used that to inform some of our conversations with central government, but the overall timeframes around the much broader land audit that touches on issues far wider than what we would be needing to cover for this work is not something I'm familiar with, and I don't know if Sean or anybody else on the call might have an answer to that.
I think Wayne would be the one to know that one.
Okay, we can move on from there. Thanks for that, Janice. Two other questions. So number 42 on page 28, Papakāinga Housing Toolkit. Look, it has been expressed through Te Whakamīnanga the length of time it has taken for the council to respond to the request for that toolkit to be developed. I think it's probably two plus years since that initial request came through Te Whakamīnanga. I remember when, I think it was Hastings or Napier Council came and presented on the work that they'd done locally, and that was really where the thrust of this sort of request came from. So again, any time frame in terms of actually bringing that to completion?
I guess just as a general comment, we haven't got specific timeframes attached to any of those actions. So that are in the report. What I can say about Papakāinga is that prior to COVID-19, I know that our district planning manager was keen to begin a conversation with our iwi partnerships team and iwi reps about how we could get that piece of work underway again. That's obviously taken a little bit of a hit now that we are focused on responding to COVID-19, but it would certainly be an early priority for getting underway once we do get back to a more normal way of working in this space. And certainly timeframes is something that we would like to discuss with our iwi partners.
Thank you, Janice. So certainly from
Can I just add to that? And I know that for the Papakāinga side, for that to happen, we need a plan change into the district plan. And the district plan, we cannot put a new plan change in until we have resolved the appeals of the district plan which is currently alive. So that's part of the problem. But say, having said that, it would be strategic if we have all our ducks in a row. As and when we can, then we should be able to.
We certainly see value in restarting that conversation as soon as we can, despite the challenges with the district plan.
So just to respond to that a little bit, Janice, I absolutely understand why there's not specific dates in this paper, and I'm not looking to you for a date, but I do want to signal, I guess, a concern that's been raised by councillors around particular projects and not having timeframes in place for those projects to tend to creep. And, you know, moving forward, it would certainly be desirable once we have a better understanding of a project and what's needed to complete it, that we actually have some dates put in place so we can track how we're performing against delivering on that. The last one I had was just around the, on that same page, number 47. Now, in answering this question, I don't want to give the impression I don't support housing. Quite the opposite. I absolutely see that we have a role to play in the housing space. And the word there is around providing a mandate. So, you know, through our LTP, we I remember the document, and we had some information there around our role that we played in housing. But I guess I'm just cautious of using the word mandate. I do note that it says direction. It doesn't sort of, you know, say it provides a mandate for building houses or so forth. But just to be careful that we are, I guess, cognizant of the fact that our, you know, I don't think we've got a blanket support from the community to step fully into the social housing space and build, you know, 100, 200 units. That being said, I do want to signal support for the same point that Councillor Randall made around looking at our existing housing stock and the redevelopment of those sites, but I'll bring that up further in debate. Thank you.
Just in response to that, I think the key word in that sentence to consider alongside mandate is consider. I think what we're saying there is that the long-term plan provided the mandate for council to consider its future role in housing. Any departure from our current role or any major forays into a new space for us in housing would need to be carefully considered by the council, and certainly anything that might impact our assets or our service delivery or have a significant issue on budgets, we would need to seek a mandate from the community at that point.
Thank you, Janice.
Right, Janet Holbrook.
Yeah, thanks for all this wealth of work that's been done, and good to have some action points to start making some progress in this area. I'm just wondering how this is tying in, if at all, with the LGNZ Housing 2030 project, and whether we went to the symposium in February, did that go ahead, and any takeouts from that, and how we're kind of tying into, so we're not unique in having some of these problems. So how are we tying into work that other councils are doing here?
Several elected members, we had, I'm having to think here, but I think three or four, possibly five staff from different departments in council attend the LGNZ Housing Symposium. I don't want to overstate the linkages to the LGNZ piece of work at the moment. We attended the forum. We are aware of the broader sector focus, and I think one of the things that I look forward to, should Council endorse this direction today, is that when we are in a position to recruit some dedicated resource for housing, we will be able to better connect to the work underway in the sector.
Right. I have a question for Clint Fisher. In the conversations with Oranga, the Housing New Zealand, the problem we have is definition or needs assessment as to what the needs are in the district. Because I know MSD uses its registered to look, I think they came up with about 40, and Housing New Zealand is building 14, I think. They still haven't caught up with that number. But I know that when you're talking with social organizations, NGOs who are active in this area, they are looking at a need for about 300. But those seem to be anecdotal. So we don't know what's the methodology of assessing needs used by MSD versus what sort of evidence do we have to produce to secure the numbers that are truly reflective of what are called the hidden need. Clint.
Thank you, Mayor, for the question. In relate, just to unpick the question or response to your question, pardon me, there are two parts around the estimated demand within the district. The first part of that is the housing register, which is a published document on the Working Income website, and that is a level of demand that people who are fronting up to Working Income, who are looking for a secure, warm, dry home, either in Kapiti District or up to two or three other locations. At the moment, in the report, I think we reported up to 110 being on the waiting list within that register, and they're currently that's sitting probably just above that at the moment. The other component of the demand is the demand that we captured during the housing needs assessment by engaging with community housing providers, transitional housing providers within the district. And that was essentially an anecdotal number that was formed through advice from those NGOs who had received anywhere up to four calls a day from different parties, and then developed the number essentially up to a number of around or a hidden demand of say 200. When we stack that with the housing register, that's where we arrived at approximately 300 being the demand for the district. In terms of what the Ministry of Housing and Urban Development have defined as what the pipeline is for public housing in the Kapiti District, we're basing ourselves off 250 or so existing public houses that are more or less managed by Kāinga Ora. In that additional pipeline of 50 houses that has been defined through the public housing plan, 13 of those have been confirmed by Kāinga Ora to be delivered in areas of Paraparaumu and Ōtaki. That leaves a balance of 27 dwellings that are unaccounted for. And with the discussions that I had with the CHIP sector last year, there was a strong appetite for CHIPs to engage with others in the district to realise that number. In terms of Kāinga Ora increasing their numbers, I think that one of the hurdles for that organisation is the level of services available within the Kapiti District. The Kāinga Ora perceive those to be, in terms of mental health, alcohol and drug addiction type of services, perhaps not sufficient to justify a larger number of housings to be delivered by that organisation. However, on the other side, I think it's heartening that the CHIP sector, the active CHIP sector in the district and the wider Wellington region has a strong appetite to step up to see if there's a viable solution to deliver the balance of those of the housing.
Very good. James.
Thank you, Guru. Sorry, I just had one I missed using the digital version. So on Clint Fisher's report on page 32 of the digital, and there is the action 8, which is the one that Councillor Randall referred to, is sitting in the medium term. What's classified as medium term? Is that within this triennium? Then I have a following question.
So I think that in terms of how we're classifying short, medium and long term, that's something that I think we classify a little differently to the timeframes that Clint has used, particularly post-COVID-19. What that actually looks like in practice is something that we would get a bit of sense of when we started to develop that detailed multi-year work programme. Anything that started to touch on our pensioner housing would require community engagement and consultation, and quite likely a special consultative procedure. So this is probably a 12 month piece of work once it starts, and potentially the long-term plan considerations might be a vehicle for delivering some of that. I appreciate that I haven't answered your question. I've been speaking.
If I could put it back on you, if the desire from the council was to progress the first steps in this within this triennium, is that possible, finances depending? Because obviously it comes back to the affordability of it, but that would be not actually building something physically, but actually doing the starting work around the proposal to redevelop those aging units that are costing us money to continually maintain.
Yes, absolutely possible to begin. The rate of progress would depend on the availability of resources, both people and budget. And if that was the will of the council, I guess I would recommend that Action 8 gets added into your resolution about which actions you would like us to prioritise in the interim while we are developing a fuller work programme.
Thank you, and I'd like to do that. However, my follow-up question to that is, given our recent recommendations on the annual plan, how does that affect our ability to fulfil some of the work programme in this document? And then I have one last question after that.
So the recent annual plan deliberations around budget, probably, and the fact that council was considering more of a budget for housing than what staff had included in the base budget for the forthcoming financial year, but that has now come out of the draft annual plan, that probably leaves us back in the position that we were in when we first started briefing you around or workshopping that the draft annual plan with you, and that was that we would have funding available for staff resource and a small OPEX budget to engage others, other pieces of work if needed, to build a picture of what we might want to seek funding and community mandate for via the long-term plan. So had the proposal to increase the money available for housing gone ahead through the draft annual plan, we might have actually been able to progress some of those initiatives without having to wait for the long-term plan to be the way we seek the funding and the community mandate. That said, there are a lot of initiatives that we can make progress on without requiring additional budget on top of what's already there. But bigger ticket items would need to wait for the long-term plan in terms of consideration. That's the key impact of the annual plan deliberations so far.
Thank you, Janice. And Guru, I'll be quick. I guess I don't want to be that councillor that, in one hand, is asking the council to reduce its expenses and look for areas of savings, and then on the other hand, look to increase the workload on the organisation and expect things to be funded and done. What I would like to see is some proactive movement around considering the redevelopment of those sites within the triennium. And so I'd probably look to staff's guidance around any resolution supporting that and the timeframe. The last question I have is on...
Hang on that one, James. Rob, do you have a response to that? Since you're a portfolio holder.
I do, through you, Mr. Chair. I think it's really important that we try and make sure that some of these recommendations don't get ahead of others. And I'll be very blunt here, the council does not have the trust of the community when it comes to housing. And that's, you may disagree with me, but we need to demonstrate that we have the best interests of the community at heart and our resources and our seniors in terms of those houses you're speaking to. So I would be very cautious about trying to push that particular project work too far ahead of some of our other responses. Otherwise, we could be seen as trying to sell off assets and not actually be fixing the problem. I'm just raising that as a concern that I've certainly heard when I speak in the community, and that is something that we have inherited as a council.
Right.
Robin.
Back to you, James.
Yeah, thank you, Robin. Look, I agree, and certainly wouldn't be suggesting selling them off. But you know, thank you for the input. And as I said, I agree. The last comment I want to make is on again on Clint's report, page 35, issues to be addressed. Point number three: encourage take up of existing development capacity. And in the action there, it refers to pretty much our consenting processes and so forth, and the prioritisation that Clint's got there. Is in the short term. Again, I just want to, I guess, signal that there is, you know, still remain some significant concerns in the construction sector around our consent, the handling of our consents, whether valid or not. And I just wondered, in terms of a question, whether in considering the report, staff have any response to dealing with that as part of this action.
Sorry, unmute myself. I was just lost in the report, actually, Councillor Coates. Sorry for the delay. I guess in response to that, I would say that overall, that's a it's an ongoing area of focus for the council. We haven't obviously specified that as one of the actions that we would probably progress ahead of developing a more detailed work program. However, there are other pieces of work away in the organisation, some of them in response or soon to be getting underway, some of them in response to the housing and business assessment work that McGillivray is leaving, that would start to address those points. I guess I want to be... I need to try and be pragmatic. If I had my way, we would try and progress everything really quickly, super fast. And certainly our ability to progress things for the next financial year will be improved in comparison to this year. We will have budget for some dedicated resource, which is more than we've had to date. However, I guess I need to be mindful of what resource we do have available. And I think also the points that Councillor McCann raised around progressing in ways that maintain the trust and confidence of our community. And I guess from that perspective, you'll see there's a fairly strong social and public housing focus to the areas that we have suggested we progress in the interim. And I think that's probably really even more appropriate now given the COVID-19 situation that we find ourselves in.
Thank you, Janice.
Right, Jack Elia.
Sorry, I just wanted to address the comments made by Rob there. I'm not sure where this idea comes from that the public have no confidence in the council to provide housing. You know, for over 40 years, we've provided roofs over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of heads of very vulnerable people. That's been affordable and appreciated at very little extra cost to ratepayers until about 5 years ago when we decided to make a small contribution towards keeping their rates, their rent down, and the upgrades that we've chosen to do. So public confidence, even though there's not ever a big noise about people who are happy with the public housing, I'm particularly proud, and we should all be proud, of this little train that just chugs away in the background and does such an exceedingly good job with very little fuss.
Just a comment, is there no question?
No, it's a comment.
Okay. Looks like anybody else? Looks like there's nobody else. Rob, would you like to move the recommendations?
Guru, I would like to remove all the recommendations in one batch if that's agreeable with councillors. Recommendations 53 to 61.
Hold on, can I just get James? Are you wanting to be seconder?
Look, I'm wanting to signal my intention to add action number 10 to recommendation 59 to the list there. And I'm happy to speak to that if Councillor McCann or staff want to hear the reasons behind that. I'd rather test it than trying to move an amendment. It's a little bit more messy, especially by Zoom. So look, Councillor Buswell and myself are both involved in the business leadership group with council staff. And even in the last week, it's been identified around the COVID-19 recovery, the concerns from the building sector around the consenting process. Now, I want to be really clear. I know that it is incredibly difficult in that regulatory field, and often it's around the rules. But it's no secret that our community has struggled with our development community has struggled with our council consenting process. And I think it takes, in terms of any negotiation, a willingness from both parties to sit at the table and talk through those issues. I don't see number 10 as being a huge piece of work more than a willingness to work together. And if that helps free up developers to build faster and build more, then I think that's a positive step around providing more housing, hence why I'd like to see it on there. And I think that I'd probably have the support of Councillor Buswell if I was to move it as an amendment, but I'd rather it be moved by the original mover and seconded.
So in terms of the recommendation, what are you exactly proposing?
It would just be the addition of action 10 in the list that is there. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 7 and 14. I guess we might need to hear from Janice whether they perceive that there's more work than what I have entailed in terms of adding number 10 and potentially more cost. But, you know, I'd say even in the instance, starting the discussion with our development community, would it be a positive step that would cost very little other than time and a willingness to work together with them?
So you want, Janice, do you want to respond?
Happy to. I am wondering whether Natasha is still on the line and whether or not she may wish to respond if she still is. Is she here? No, I don't think so. So, absolutely, if the will of the council is to add action 10 into the list of actions that will progress while we work on a detailed housing program, absolutely, that's your place to do that. I guess I would just acknowledge that the more actions we have in there, I guess the slower progress will potentially be across all of them. I appreciate the importance that you're placing on this and the signal that you're wanting to send that this is important. I would say that this is one of those areas where there is already existing work that we can tap into, so we are not starting from scratch. Indeed, there are a number of conversations with the development community out of both our regulatory group and our infrastructure group, some particularly helpful conversations in recent months, I think that certainly give us a good platform to start from.
So, Tanika, have you added that 10 there? Yes, you have.
Yep, so I've got it in red.
And we haven't gone to the mover and seconder yet, but we've got
Councillor McCann moving.
Before that, I think we've got Martin Holliday and Jackie Elliott. Martin.
I just wanted to reinforce what James was saying. There is definitely that opinion out there in the construction industry, and we do need to get it sorted, and it should be a relatively, I was going to say relatively simple process, but as James pointed out, it's a case of bringing people to the table and building up that trust again. So I certainly got my full support on that option 10. I'd be interested in hearing Rob and Bernie's view with regards to action 8. Were they wanting to, was that to be discussed with bringing that into this as well? I do appreciate what you're saying, Janice, around stretching the resources. But that's something that Bernie was pretty strong about when we first started talking about this. And Jane, I think Robin had mentioned that as well. I'd be interested in hearing their opinions, whether they want those brought in as well. That's it.
I'm happy for Bernie to go first, and then I'll respond.
Yeah, I would like it to be brought into recommendations. I mean, this is not my own personal recommendation as well. John Hayes, the chair of the Housing Task Force, sent me an email and saying that he would like this to be put into the report, Action 8. So it's up to the councillors whether they agree to it or not.
Do you mind if I respond, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'm not opposed to it, but again, my first statement stand that I do think we need to send the right signals. And with all due respect to Councillor Elliott, I do think that there is a mistrust around some councils and selling off assets. And I know my wording might be blunt. I do think we need to send the right signals first. I also would remind councillors that we need to have a work program. And while staff will be able to progress some of these items, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. We need to have a coherent work program, and I think that really needs to be the next step rather than picking individual items which will get out in front of something that looks coherent. So I would prefer that it was left out. However, I'm very happy to add 10 as per Councillor Coates' suggestion. I do think that would go some way to continuing to build trust with that part of the sector.
Person who hasn't spoken yet, Angela Boswell.
Thank you. Yeah, I would definitely like to support action number 10. Just looking at action number 14, it does say that identify a suitable council, other land through council, blah, blah, blah. That could that not encapsulate number eight, because the current older people's units council currently owns, and maybe that could be worked in with action number 14. Any thoughts?
Yep, I think you're right.
Would you like me to respond to that, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, please, Janice.
I guess what I wanted to say there is that rather than trying to combine actions that are in Clint's report separately, dealt with separately, maybe what I could reinforce is that you adopt these recommendations and essentially endorse the report and the actions that are in it. If there were opportunities that arose through our conversations with central government or with other local players in the housing or development sector, so if there were conversations that arose out of that meant we thought there was a good opportunity to actually progress a conversation around pensioner housing, for argument's sake, but it could be for any of the actions, we would bring that to you, and if that meant that we asked you to endorse us doing some work on something that you hadn't previously indicated was a priority, we could do that. I think being agile and making sure that we've got all of the property group's recommendations in mind when we're working in the housing space will be really important.
Yeah, I think Angela Buzzell's point is well taken. The point 14 actually allows for other lands which can be stretched to include surplus land that our current pension housing sits on. And I know around the district that is the case. And I think we have had discussions with Housing New Zealand around that type of concepts. And that's ongoing. We've got Jackie Elliott and then Martin Holliday.
Hi. So I had my hand up to second the recommendations. However, Rob, just on your comments, sorry, I thought that earlier you had said that the public had no confidence in council's ability in this area to provide social housing, but which is a little bit different than the big discussion about selling. The possibility of selling our publicly owned assets in this area. But on that, one of the actions that has not been brought through to, from the Housing Task Force report to this report now, is the action that talked about leasing. Now, that was an idea that I had mooted, that if a discussion to sell off the public housing assets ever came up, that I would bring up and lobby for, and hope councillors would join me in lobbying for leasing as an option, to, because leasing is retains the asset and the publicly owned asset for the public. So I'm willing to go ahead and second these, even though the leasing option is not there, but boy, the discussion will come up if it needs to. Anyway.
So you're signalling the fact that if it comes up in the future, that's what your option is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But your signal that you will second the motion which has been moved by McCann.
Yep.
So before I come to Councillor McCann actually moving it and seconding it, can I have Martin Holliday, you've still got your hand up.
Mr. Mayor, if I could interrupt, I'm sorry. We're fast approaching the time limit for this meeting. We've only got a few minutes left. If the council wishes to continue to sit beyond 3:40, someone would need to move that the council extend its sitting beyond 6 hours to complete items 8.3, 9, 10, 11 and 12 on the agenda.
Janet Holbrook has moved
that.
Okay. I've seconded it. All those in papers.
Happy to second that.
Press yes.
Cool. I'll go
sorry,
back.
Can we just...
We need to vote on it.
Yep.
Yeah, all those in favour, press the yes button.
Can we just clarify who the seconder was, sorry?
Angela
Boswell? Yeah, Holbrook moved it and I seconded it.
Okay.
So Councillor Holbrook and the Mayor as seconder. We have 10 votes for yes and 1 vote for no.
It would be interesting to find out who was that.
It's me.
Can I call for division, please?
We have...
A call for division.
You're so divisive.
We've lost yes votes now.
Right, so we continue. Martin, you had your hand up.
Look, I'm reiterating what was said before. I fully endorse the portfolio holder here, being Rob, with regards to having looked at all this. I do believe that we have had a loss in trust with the community. There's been a huge time lag on all this, from when the Housing Trust report was done to, well, basically no result. And we do need to get some quick wins on the board here. If we get some quick wins on the board, then of course we'll be able to move forward with that trust and building all those sorts of things. So. I'm just happy to take that lead from Rob, I see that action point 14, was it, does pick up what we're talking about with 8 in this instance, and that can be reviewed as we move forward.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, with your indulgence, can I just chip in with a point of clarification around the relationship between 8 and action 8 and action 14? There isn't really one. So action 8 relates to our pensioner housing portfolio. Action 14 relates to the provision of emergency and transitional housing, which are two very different. One is a permanent housing situation, one is an emergency or transitional housing situation. So I think, so you couldn't consider that one was dealt with by the other, but I think the point that I made earlier still stands, that although we are signalling that there is a particular set of actions that we would propose prioritising in the interim until we had developed a more detailed work programme, which is, I guess, months down the line rather than years down the line. We could progress any of the actions if the right opportunity came up, and we would bring that back to you.
Okay.
I'm comforted by that, most definitely. So, yep, that's me done. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm very comfortable with what's been suggested.
So you're moving 56 to 61 in second.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, we have Councillor Pravnov with her hand up.
Okay. Councillor.
Thank you. So we've spent the whole morning talking about the annual plan and budgets and how we're going to spend our money. So this is basically a new piece of work that's been wrapped all up. So I would just like to know where the funding for this is going to be coming from, please.
The funding to progress, this was discussed this morning in the annual plan paper, the funding to progress the establishment of a housing program within council and to start on these initiatives was included in the base budget that came before you in the annual plan workshops. So
thank you for that. So James Coutts brought up how some of them were divided into short, medium and long term. So it's not quite clear what actually is included in this year's budget and what isn't.
So this year's budget covers what is essentially the equivalent of salary for a dedicated housing program manager and a small OPEX budget from memory to be able to carry out further work if needed. How that budget then gets applied across the various different actions that we've said will be progressing is a question that I can't answer at the moment because we haven't started that piece of work. I guess I would note that in a number of the actions, most of the actions that we have proposed to be our initial focus could be progressed largely with staff time and wouldn't need significant external expenditure.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you very much. Now, finally, Rob, move it.
I'd like to move the recommendations as one.
56 to 61, and seconded by Jackie Elliott. All those in favour, cast your vote, please.
Have we got debate?
Oh, sorry, I was rushing. Yep, debate on. James.
So, look, I just want to address the item and debate around action number 8. You know, I through the election campaign, I personally campaigned on reviewing the older person's housing stock. And that was reviewing it. It wasn't necessarily saying that something would happen to it that would come out of the review. And I guess I want to make clear, I haven't pushed for that to be in the set of recommendations today, even though there's been, I guess, some willingness from certainly Councillor Randall. And potentially others, because I think it can wait until next year's annual plan/LTP budget, and also just mindful of the pressure that the organisation is under already, given COVID-19 and our previous discussion on the annual plan budget for this year. So I think it's unrealistic for us to screw things down and then apply more on top. So I just wanted to signal through debate that I certainly still support action number 8. I just think in terms of the timing of which things will happen, that, you know, realistically it's unlikely anything will happen until probably early next year anyway. And we can bring that through.
Right, anybody else? No? Okay. I'm now going to put recommendation 56 to 61 moved by Rob McCann, seconded by Jackie Elliott. Cast your vote.
We have 11 votes.
Carried. Yeah. Thank you very much on that. We're now on item number 9, confirmation of minutes, page 103. Right. I'm looking at the first one, first recommendation, minutes of December 12th. Be accepted as a true and accurate record. Any changes or any observations on those minutes? No. Would someone move and second it?
I moved.
Moved by Gwyn Compton. Seconded.
Sorry,
by
Mr. Mayor. Do you want to speak on? There is an addition to those recommendations, point four, that the minutes be authorised by affixing the chairperson's electronic signature. This is given that we can't get you to physically sign them.
But that's what I'm doing all the...
You're doing already? Yeah. Okay, all right. We'll take that out then.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, so it's been moved by Gwyn Compton, seconded by Jenna Harbrough, that the minutes of the council meeting of 12 December 2019 be accepted as a true and accurate record of the meeting. Vote. We done? We go on to the recommendation number two, the minutes of the council meeting on 30th January 2020 to be accepted as a true and accurate record of the meeting. Any observations, any mistakes, anything to be rectified there? No? Somebody move in second? Nobody's moving.
So sorry.
Move by General Holder.
Are you moving them all separately?
Yes, because sometimes there are mistakes in it. So moved by General Holbrook, seconded. Sophie seconding it.
I just noticed in the previous minutes they had Ms. and Mr. and things. They had titles in the in attendance, and in this one they didn't. Maybe we could look at having a
degenderizing it.
It's a little thing, but consistency is good, I think. I prefer it without myself.
Noted. We'll tell it the Democratic Services. We want gender neutrality next time. Okay, so it's removed by General Holbrook and seconded by Sophie Amford. Vote. Let's carry it. Recommendation three, the minutes of the council meeting 27th February 2020 to be accepted true and accurate record of the meeting. Any changes down there? Any mistakes? No? Can somebody move? Rob McCann's moved. Seconded James Coates. Vote. Carried. We now move into public exclusion for the confirmation. I move that we go into public exclusion. Can I have a seconder? Seconded by James Coates. Thank you very much. You can cut off the live streaming.